Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
It's great to have you in church, and I'm really excited about this morning. I generally try to say that, you know, God's given us something to say for you guys, and I have a relative level of confidence in saying that. But today I'm really excited about what God has put on my heart. It's very simple, it's very basic, but I believe it's got some great keys within it, some of which I've noticed I've applied in my life, and I just think, wow, that's really made a difference in my world. And then there's some new things in here that I think will be really pertinent to people in this room. So if you've got your Bibles, could you please turn to Daniel? Daniel chapter 6. And I just want to give you a little bit of background to Daniel's story before we get to chapter 6. And he was one of the young men aged 12 to 15 that were taken, specifically targeted and taken by the Babylonian Empire out of their homeland and taken approximately 1,500 kilometres away, which would be quite traumatic for anybody, let alone a teenager. And so he was taken out of his comfort zone. He was taken out of his social support networks. He was taken out of his family setting and everything that was familiar, food, education, location, geography. It was just a total change for this young man. But yet there are some things within him that were able to sustain and to keep him from the environment that he was about to enter into. So he was brought up in the way of the law, usually through oral traditional, through the scrolls and teachers, rabbis and things would have raised him and taught him about who God was and the amazing feats that God had accomplished on behalf of the children of Israel. He would have grown up knowing all of that, and now he finds himself a captive taken to this foreign land. And you read a powerful principle in Daniel chapter 1 verse 8 is that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself when he went to Babylon. Now, that's great maturity for a 15-year-old to go, you know what, I am that convinced about my God and I'm that convinced about what I believe that regardless of what I'm faced with when I go to this place, I am not going to compromise myself. And I believe that God has called us as a people, as followers of Jesus Christ, that we are people that do not compromise the boundaries for life that he has asked us to live by. And that's why being a Christian is, we say it, is often harder to stand up for what you believe in than just go along with what everybody else says. And Daniel's a living example of somebody who did that. And we'll see where that got him. One of the things that we see in Daniel's life that was very important to him was prayer, which is the priority for this particular month and year and hopefully in the years to come. But it's something that we're really wanting to really highlight and for us to grasp the significance and the power. And yet in saying all that, the simplicity of prayer, it's one of the most powerful tools that God has given us to engage and connect with him on a spiritual level, but yet we kind of don't always make it the priority in our lives. But Daniel was the kind of guy that was convinced that prayer made a difference, that dialogue with God, staying connected with God was extremely important. And so he goes into this environment where he's confronted with all sorts of things. He goes into a place where he sees things and he's exposed to things being in the royal palace and in the training he had to go through. You can read about Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, these guys of what they were confronted with and how they decided and purposed in their heart that they weren't going to defile themselves. And they keep their way pure and God honours that to the point where they are considered to be 10 times superior to any of the other trainees at that time. So, I mean, that's a great encouragement. If you want to excel in your workplace, if you want to excel in whatever you do, your hand puts to do, whether it's sport, your social life, any area of life, then God says, hey, just keep me number one. Seek first my kingdom. Follow my ways. Stick with me and you'll go places is basically what God is saying. And so Daniel gets through his earlier years and we find he goes into his 20s and he builds this fantastic reputation of being a man of integrity, a man of commitment, a man of faith, a man that is not willing to compromise. And he is the go-to guy. When people want interpretations, when people need wisdom, when people need decisions made, Daniel was the guy to go to. And now he gets made a governor. There were three governors, but because Daniel was so far above them all, he's made like the head honcho, the boss. Now these other guys are trying to find fault with Daniel. They're trying to find a way in which they can tear down his character and his integrity. And who notices the more that you try to walk that narrow road that we're called to do, the greater level of criticism that you can cop. And it's not that we're saying I'm any better than anybody else. I'm just like a beggar trying to help other beggars find bread. I am just as fractured and broken as anyone else, but I'm just focused on doing what God's called me to do. I'm not going to judge or compare myself to anybody else. I'm just trying to do this. But the more that sometimes we pursue that godly lifestyle, the greater level of criticism that we can attract, which is really encouraging. But that's why being a Christian and standing up for what you believe in is often harder. So Daniel begins to find that he's in this environment where these guys don't have his back. They want to knife him in the back. So they set up this plot and they set up a trap. They know that Daniel is a guy that won't compromise. Daniel reflects and shows us somebody that's got the great understanding of the balance of honouring and respecting authority figures. In the meanwhile, he is not willing to compromise his belief and faith in God. Because Daniel, even though a decree comes out that nobody is allowed to pray to any other god except to the king at that time, Daniel goes, you know what? I'm not going to elevate a man above my God because my God is greater. My God is stronger. My God is the one and only true and living God. These guys worship all kinds of other gods. They'll worship the sun god, the rock god, the moon god. And who should I worship today? Oh, there's an eagle. I'll worship the eagle god. So there are these people that are worshiping created things. And Daniel goes, I don't need to worship created things, stars, sun, moon. I can worship the creator. And he's not willing to compromise that, but you can see through the way in which he communicates with the king and his peers that he is still respectful of those authority figures that are around. So what do we see? Daniel's about the decree. It's made clear that nobody is to pray or to seek any other gods except for the king of the day for 30 days. And then he goes, I'm sorry, but that's contrary to what I believe the word of God has to say. So he commits himself to prayer. He commits himself, as has been his routine and his lifestyle, he commits himself to prayer, to praying morning, noon, and night. And he doesn't hide himself away. He's not ashamed. He's not embarrassed. And neither should we be. As Byron said this morning, if we are truly carriers of the truth, a gift that we have been given, not something of ourselves, but the grace gift of God that we've been given, that I am a carrier of the truth, that I've actually got the answer to the thing that people are searching for in life. If I really have that, I should not be embarrassed by that. If I'm a carrier of his light and presence, I shouldn't try to hide that. I should just let it shine. And see, Daniel does that. He doesn't hide himself away and he begins to pray and the guys go, we've got him. We've got him, we're trapped. They go to the king and they say, King, did you not say that nobody was allowed to pray to any other? And the king goes, yes, that's the decree. And they go, well, it just so happens. Young Daniel, your favourite, has been praying to his God. The decree says anyone like that's got to go into the lion's den. My title this morning is Prayer Will Take You There. It may not take you to where you want to go. You may not end up where you thought you were going to end up. But you need to trust that God has got stuff under control. And some of you find yourself in the midst of chaos because as soon as you begin to commit yourself to prayer, all hell breaks loose. Because the minute that you want to actually start stepping into being more of who God wants you to be, less of you and more like Jesus on this planet, the more that you want to step into the destiny and the plan that he's got for you, which is not just about you and me, it's about others. So in effect, when we start to step into more of what God has got for us, it means that we're going to actually impact other people to a greater degree. There is a devil that doesn't want us to do that. So he doesn't care if you come to church, sit back in a pew and clap hands and happy clappy and praise God, and then just go out and not do anything with your faith. He doesn't care. But we as a church at the moment, if you want to call Compass Church home, we have to pray. We have to pray. It's only through prayer we're going to see a release of God's power and transforming power in our own lives together in and through us to impact our community. Otherwise, we do things in our own strength. So they set a trap. What is a trap for? A trap is to capture something that is free. Something that is running free. So these guys have set a trap because they know Daniel's free. There's something about him they don't like. And it's his godly character, it's his integrity, his unwillingness to compromise, and his faith in his God that is there is a freedom about him that they don't have. And they don't like it, so they set a trap. And that trap is there to capture somebody that is free. And a trap will either maim or will injure, it will confine, it will constrict, it will suffocate, potentially even kill. And I'm sure most of the ladies in the room are more than happy for mouse traps to do their job in that regard. But that's what traps are for. So we see Daniel, as much as the king tries to set him free, can't, because the rule of the Medes and the Persians says that once the king has put a decree in place, nobody can overturn that decree. So they grab Daniel, who's free, and they've set the trap. Now he's supposedly caught. Prayer has taken him there, and they take him to the lion's den. They take him to this pit, and they, whether they bind him or they tie him up, I don't think Daniel resisted. I think he was there, and they began to lower him down. And he's got these people surrounding, these guys just going, at last, we're rid of him. He's gone. He's out of the picture. Now we can get that position. We can get that. And so you could just imagine, as Daniel is being lowered down, people are kind of like standing there, kind of like smiling. There's Daniel's friends that are, you know, sort of just distraught and upset. And Daniel, as he's being lowered down, he's looking down and he can see just those little kitty catties just walking around the den. I mean, who's heard a lion roar? I mean, it is kind of a spine-chilling kind of thing. These guys have coordinated Daniel to go down at feeding time, so there is just that guttural roar of a lion in a den, so you've got the echo factor on top of that as well. And so it is just spine-chilling. It's almost deafening, the roars of lions as Daniel. And you know, Daniel's going down there. I dare say his heart rate went up a little bit. I dare say he's looking at these lions just going, wow, prayer has taken me here. I am so glad I prayed today. I am so glad that I got on my knees so everybody could see me, unashamed, and now prayer is taking me to the pit. And you could just imagine as he's lowered down in there. Let's read verse 17 of chapter 6. He's lowered down. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. So that Daniel's situation might not be changed. He gets down, he gets to a position, the lions are just going back and forward, letting out some of their roars, and he's sitting down in the den, and all of a sudden, this sound of rock grinding on rock, this loud noise starts to permeate the atmosphere of a massive rock coming over the top. So the light that was there slowly begins to dwindle, so it's just a half moon, crescent moon, bang, pitch black. He is in utter darkness and prayer's taken him there. He's sitting in there and he's just like, there's no light for him to adjust. It is pitch black. So all he can hear is just the pads of the lion's paws pacing up and down. They're just going back and forth. He can hear the lions. He can hear that noise echoing in the pit. He's sitting in there and he's like, prayer has brought me here. I am so happy about that. And then it says, so that his situation might not be changed. It looks hopeless. You know, that's exactly what the devil tries to do in our lives. He sets traps. He knows what buttons to push in your life to get you to stumble, to fall, to trip up. He knows. He doesn't know what you're thinking. He's not omniscient like God who knows everything. The devil hears what you have to say. And that's why the words that we use with our mouth are so important and powerful, because we can kick him where it hurts or we can allow him greater access into our lives. I don't believe Christians can be possessed, but I believe Christians can be oppressed by the devil and the enemy that comes to set traps for us, so that we end up being in a pit. And then what the devil wants to do is go, you know, I'm not just going to put you in a pit. I'm going to put a rock over the top so that you think your situation can't be changed. So he wants you so pressed down. He wants you so dissatisfied. He wants you thinking that there is no hope, that there is no way out of your circumstance or situation. He's put a rock over it, and he wants you psychologically convinced that there is your situation cannot be changed. That's his modus operandi. We need to understand that his plan is nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. And some of us here this morning, there are times when we stumble and we trip and we find ourselves in a trap, and we realize the grace of God can get me out of this. So before the stone can be put over us, and before we get isolated and alone and in darkness and feel as like the world is just caving in around us and that we're all on our own, before we get to that point, we understand the grace of God can pierce that darkness and get us back out into light. But for some of us in the room, there has been situations in our lives, whether it's been something that has happened to us or a circumstance we've gone through, a broken relationship, a business failure that we thought was meant to be something, but it's turned out to be something else, and we find ourselves in a pit. We feel as though there is a rock over our heads. It is dark. There's no hope. And we feel like our situation cannot be changed. But I'm here to tell you this morning that there is hope, that there is a way out. Because we see the next day, the king comes back. He's there first thing next morning going, Daniel, are you alive? And Daniel's response to the bloke that put him in there, have a read of it for yourself. It says, O king, live forever. I think most of us would be like, up yours, mate. Let me get out of this pit because I want to have words with you. Daniel's going, O king, live forever. My God has saved me. My God has saved me because I was found innocent before God, and even you, O king, have found nothing against me. So Daniel acknowledges that it is only God that could have got out of there and shut the mouths of the lions, but it's because of his righteous walk before God, his desire and willingness and his attempts to follow God and his ways and not compromise in that, and it was his integrity before man. Innocence before God and integrity before man is so important. How we conduct ourselves on a daily basis with other people, people watch. They are waiting more than often for us to make a mistake and to see how we will respond with it. And they're wondering, when you get yourself into a pit, Phil, because I find myself in pits, frustrated, annoyed. How am I going to respond? How am I going to react? What words come out of my mouth? I'm going to speak words of life and change in that situation, or I'm going to allow the enemy to come and actually greater access to sliding the rock over the top of the pit I find myself in. But Daniel gives glory to God, and we see that Daniel's life is saved, and he gives all the glory to God. You go, well, how is that relevant to me in my situation today, 2011? How is this relevant to the situation I find myself in? Go to the end of Mark 16. We don't have time. Let me finish by just simply saying this. Jesus Christ, a man who walked on the planet, died upon the cross, a torturous death for our sin and our sickness, and then he was put into a pit. He was put into the pit of all pits. He was put into a den, dead. And just to make sure he wasn't going anywhere, they put a massive stone over the mouth of that pit. It was dark. He was supposedly dead, physically dead, but his spirit very much alive. What was his spirit doing whilst his physical body was dead? His spirit was alive. The Holy Spirit was alive and went and stole the keys to hell and of death so that death has lost its sting. Hell and the principalities and the demons and all his cohorts have no authority or right to impact our lives. He's going to get the victory. So Jesus went because the Bible tells us the devil is like a lion, a roaring lion, seeking for those whom he can devour. So Jesus, when he died and he's in the pit and he went down to the pit of all pits, he just didn't shut the lion's mouth. He kicked the lion's teeth in. And so now we can have the confidence that whatever enemy that we may be faced with in a spiritual context is just a toothless tiger, and his roar far outweighs his bite because he's got no teeth. Jesus kicked him in. The Bible says that he actually bruised his heel on the devil's head when he kind of like just stamped his heel of authority on the situation. And so Jesus himself didn't need anyone else to roll the stone away when he came back to life, because we believe in a physical, literal resurrection. It was his own power that rolled that stone away, and he conquered death. He conquered hell. No one's ever found the bones of Jesus' body. They never will, because he's alive and he's risen and he's alive forevermore. And that's part of our faith. So this morning, you need to understand this happened for Daniel. But wherever you find yourself, whatever pit you find yourself in, that Jesus Christ has won the victory so that we can allow his light to pierce our darkness, to roll the stone off, that there is hope, there is life for you to live. There are dreams that are yet to be birthed within you that God is saying, hey, I just want to put this inside of you because you were born for more than this. And there's some of you in the room that, like, you know, struggles or things that you've been fighting against and you find yourself in a pit. Be encouraged this morning. Be empowered this morning that our God is greater. That Jesus Christ conquered death. He conquered hell. He defeated the devil so that no matter what we face, there is always a way out. And Corinthians tells us that. That he'll never give us more than we can handle and he always provides a way out. Right now, you might think it's just darkness, but let me tell you, his light will pierce the darkness. And this morning, the challenge for us is, as a church, is that prayer is our priority. And you take a look in Scripture. I don't have time to go through all the men and women in Scripture that committed themselves to prayer. And they said, God, something needs to happen in our nation. Something needs to happen in our community. Or God saw the need for that and he would move upon the heart of an individual. And as they were kind of aware of who he was and connected with him, and he would speak words into their life. Let me tell you, if you desire to hear the voice of God and you commit yourself to prayer, all hell will break loose. And things may not happen the way you thought it would. But could you imagine kind of like how much glory God got out of Daniel being found alive in a lion's den? Yeah, we want God to get the glory, but are we willing to go through the pit experience so that God can get the glory? Because life isn't going to be a bed of roses. And the more committed we are to prayer and the more committed we are to hearing God's voice and direction and leading, the greater the challenges that will face us. But we've got nothing to face. So, like, yep, I should ask, yeah, who wants to jump on board that train? Yeah, sign me up. Yeah, I want some of that. But it's the most satisfying, rewarding life. And the amount of people's lives that are waiting to be impacted for God's glory and to experience his grace and forgiveness and some of what we've experienced, there's literally millions of people in this state that need Jesus Christ. But are we willing to commit to prayer and actually face potentially some of those pit experiences so that God can be glorified? So I want to encourage you this morning, because let me tell you, since committing to prayer from the start of this year, our fridge has broken down, and I had the joy, unspeakable joy, of dealing with the warranty department at a particular electrical company that was not pleasant. Then our car had issues, several issues. Then we're looking for a venue for the church in terms of office space, and there's a particular real estate company that will remain nameless. And they were just so incredibly helpful. Not even turning up for an open for inspection on a 35-degree Friday afternoon from 5 to 5.15. They said, no, we'll be there. And they didn't turn up. And that was just a small part of a big picture. And like, you know, there's just a bunch of things that have been happening. And I know for people in the life of this church, you have been committed to prayer. And I applaud you for that. We don't go looking for problems. We don't go looking for issues. But the reality is when we step out in just a desperate, hungry faith like that, it's not just going to all be tiptoe through the tulips and easy and roses. So this morning, I really don't know how you can take encouragement out of what I've just said, but it's just what I felt like I had to say. So, and I know Nat and I are not the only ones that have experienced some stuff, you know, that's just, since we've committed to prayer, just like, it's like smashing a hornet's nest. We want the honey, but like there's just a few thousand bees in there that just don't want us to have the honey. So, yeah, good times. But what we want to do right now, we just really want to thank you for coming to church today. We actually want to close our service now. And what we'd like to do for the next 15, 20 minutes is just have a time of just prayer, reflection, because for us, you know, prayer as a church has got to be our priority. And so you are most welcome to stay. If you're visiting with us, we're not sure how long we're going to be doing this kind of a service, for me to speak less and us to pray more, which is a good thing, I think, especially after messages like that. But yeah, we just really want to just get our focus and attention until we really get it. Until we really start to see God moving in our lives and through us, in our situations, with our families. I got brothers who don't know Jesus yet. I got people that I train and work with that don't know Jesus yet. And prayer's the thing that's going to help us see breakthrough in those situations. And so, you know, for Michael and I last weekend, we got to, he preached at a different camp and I spoke at a different camp. And, you know, praise God, at Michael's camp, there was 47 kids that gave their heart to Jesus Christ for the first time. And there was 20 other kids that went, you know what, I've got to get my life back on track with God. And, you know, a whole bunch of other really cool stuff, which is just praise God. You know, and the camp that I was at, you know, one of the things that I love is just allowing God to do and whatever he wants. And you know, we're just praying for people and prophesying over people and words of knowledge and words of wisdom and just allowing God to do. You know, the Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit and allowing those things to operate. And just, you know, so over the next 15, 20 minutes, we're just going to allow God to do whatever. There's certain people that Mike and I really want to pray for. God's given us some words for people. But we're also conscious that if this is kind of something you've got to be somewhere or, you know, you're not used to the church thing, then we'd love you to hang around and grab a coffee out there. But we're just going to be praying for people and praying together for about the next 15 or 20 minutes. So, you know, we're not going to be keeping tabs on who leaves or anything like that. Just if you want to go and hang out in the foyer, by all means. But if you do stay in here, can I just please ask you, just be respectful of what we believe God wants to do in this space and in this room. If that's cool, that would be great. And just to open us up, I'm just going to get the band back up and just get them to just lead us in a time of worship. I'm going to, I guess, kind of close in prayer now. And then we'll just go into just like a prayer meeting, worship time. So if we can stand, please. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord God, we just thank you, Jesus Christ, that you went to the pit of all pits for us. That you broke its hold, you pierced the darkness with your amazing, brilliant light. And you conquered death, you rose again, you rolled the stone away, and you ascended to be seated at the right hand of the Father right now, we know. And Jesus, you're in the position of all authority. You are above and you are greater than any circumstance or situation that we find ourselves in. And you're there to help bring us out of that pit, to silence the mouths of the lions around us. That, Lord God, this morning we know that you can come and you can just grab our hand and pull us out. You can give us hope. You can save us, which is what you want to do.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.